helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast with your host, Bill Reichart, National Director of CMDA Campus Ministries.
So welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichart, National Director for our Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And with me on today's podcast is Brian and Sharon Stout. Brian and Sharon, welcome.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having us.
Well, before we dive in, we're going to talk about dating and relationships and marriage and how the work that you've been doing both in Philadelphia and Phoenix now are really helping those within healthcare navigate those relationships. But before we dive in, let me just give everybody a little bit of a heads up of what Brian and Sharon have been up to. First of all, they are the directors at our CMDA chapter in the Metro Phoenix area. Before that, they were Philadelphia fans. And as you're going to tell, they are Eagles fans, although I'm not seeing any Eagles green, I don't think.
My phone. Will always be Philadelphia
fans. We know that that's been a sanctifying work, except for that one Super Bowl win. So I know it's Brian. You're a graduate of Westminster Theological Seminary. Four kids, one with special needs. You said, Brian, you enjoy staying active. I know this about you: roasting coffee, and you do roast some very good coffee. And writing. Well, Sharon, you love all things French and counseling women at the church. But you all, in addition to the work you do with CMDA, you work in counseling and especially on relationships, marriage, and so forth. So we want to touch on that subject for a good part of our conversation. Before we dive in, just tell us a little bit about your journey to CMDA. You're working with healthcare professionals in Phoenix. What led you to CMDA?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while, you know. Mm-hmm. It's been over 15 years.
Yeah.
We were in undergrad ministry. Mm-hmm. Things were going really well, but our son was diagnosed with autism. Mm. And so he wasn't going to get the services he needed. And so we moved back to Philadelphia where the services for him were. Mm. And our church at the time was looking for somebody to head up their ministry to healthcare people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it wasn't such a big stretch to move from undergraduate to graduate healthcare students.
Yeah,
many of whom were at our church. So that's basically what happened.
Yeah, you're in Philadelphia, now you're in Phoenix. But one thing seems to be constant is that within the healthcare professionals, the students, the trainees, the people you talk with, your conversation about relationship, I'm sure, is paramount and is something that is central to the work you do and coming alongside these healthcare students and professionals. Sharon, why was this something that God kind of led you in? I mean, you mentioned a little bit in your bio that you come from, but I think both of your families are broken families. So mm-hmm. you've got some history, you've got some challenges as you grew up, but then you're carving this life out together. You've got this marriage. You've been married how long?
26 years.
26 years. What kind of led you into focusing on this aspect of ministry?
I don't know that it was a choice that we made. I think that God, maybe because of some of the brokenness in our backgrounds, motivated us to make sure we stayed connected as a married couple. Mm-hmm. And I think that God just brought people to us because of that. Mm. We heard people say that ours was a marriage they at least wanted to know more about. And it wasn't something we stirred up. It was just something that naturally happened. I think by people being in our home, we used to have student brunches in our house where we would do Bible study and brunch on a Saturday morning, and they lived life with our family, and then we just kept getting asked to speak into more and more relationships, so it just kind of evolved from there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the beauty is that you were able to do this as a couple together, this work.
Yeah, that was always part of it, so yeah. We're grateful to be able to do it together.
Mm-hmm. So what are you noticing? I mean, what are the challenges you're seeing? I think we can argue marriage is difficult no matter where a person happens to be, but do you notice specific or unusual or unique challenges that healthcare students and professionals face in marriage, and what are they?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that really comes to mind is the busyness. I mean, just whether you're in training or in practice, there's just a lot of pressure to be busy and to always do more and more. Maybe to keep up with your peers, to get into the best residency, to just kind of keep working harder. Mm. Remember that couple in Philadelphia? He was an ER physician. She was in private practice. We went to church with them. And he was just under a lot of pressure to wear more and more hats in academia, to the point where he was like, yeah, we're kind of like ships passing in the night. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, you won't be surprised to hear we're in marriage counseling. And, you know, it was just really hard because he had certain things he needed to do. So did she. And they had to make hard choices to kind of reprioritize their marriage. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think busyness is a big one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I might add that I think there's the illusion mm-hmm. that it'll get better with the mm-hmm. next stage.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I think that there is that is just an illusion that it gets mm-hmm. better. I think it just gets replaced by different things. Mm-hmm. And that's probably especially true in medicine. Mm-hmm. I don't know that the green grass exists. I think it just changes forms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can be a hard dynamic of being married and in healthcare.
Yeah. Yeah, we were actually just talking to a student. They used to be students we knew in Philly. Amazing couple. We love them so much. And they were just like, you know what? We've got two young kids. We've got busy kind of, he's a new attending. She's been at it for a couple years. And, he, things were supposed to go a certain way with his new position. They didn't. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, hey, we really are struggling to figure this out. Mm. They both love Christ. Like, they're not doing anything wrong, mm-hmm. but it's like, how are we going to be intentional? And they're just finding that hard to do at the end of the night when they're exhausted and tired.
How can they be intentional? I think, those are all these real challenges. And like you said, they're real. I guess you work through this, as an ongoing, conversation with them. I assume there's probably resources you can bring to bear, having them to mm-hmm. be able to, one is realize they're not alone, that this is something shared by so many of their peers and colleagues.
Yes.
What would be some of the things you would have said to that person to kind of help them?
Yeah. Yeah. There are a bunch of things. Do you want to share a couple?
Yeah. I mean, I think we talked about, the importance of finding the pockets of time, that maybe are your best pockets, basically raising it on the priority list. Mm. If it means that you get someone to come be with your kids for tuck-in one night a week, or one night a month even as a starting point, mm-hmm. what resources do you have that would allow you to prioritize the relationship? And mm-hmm. and even thinking through when you have that time, going out to dinner may or may not help you feel more connected. Mm-hmm. And so even thinking about what you do, what is it that helps me feel connected to my spouse, mm-hmm. and choosing mm-hmm. thoughtfully to make that the goal, not mm-hmm. time together the goal, but mm-hmm. connection is the goal.
It's a good word. You know, my daughter is married to a general surgery resident. They're in a medical mm-hmm. marriage, third year general surgery, three kids, obviously a lot of stuff going on. She mentioned to me that one of her husband's colleagues' marriage is now null. I mean, went to divorce, and that was found out. And she was pretty devastated, and she would say that it's certainly not the first, and it has been the last time. I know she's going to hear that. So we know that marriages, particularly medical marriages, are under assault. We know that they're very difficult to negotiate and navigate, especially during those training years, especially residency. Mm-hmm. What would you say to a young couple that is thinking about entering into marriage? Because I think the preparation, mm-hmm. thinking about what are the things we put into place before, can maybe not negate every obstacle, challenge, they're all going to be there, but help them negotiate those much better, rather than playing defense where you're dealing it out of crisis. Mm-hmm. What would you say to a couple?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the first and foremost thing is really investing in your walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. And it sounds so generic, right? But I think what happens when maybe you're a busy resident and you're barely holding on, mm-hmm. Your walk with God is can be the first thing to go. Mm. And yeah, sure, there are huge time limits and constraints that you need to respect. But the best thing you can do to prepare for marriage, or even your marriage if you're already there, is to keep investing in that relationship with the Lord. Because a good marriage is ultimately two increasingly healthy people coming together. So, yeah, I mean, it's super obvious, but it's kind of hiding in plain sight, you know? And so just really emphasizing that as a starting point.
Yeah, and I might also add, I think that there is a team dynamic that maybe comes to the forefront a little bit more in medical marriage, where when it's intense for one of you, if you're considering marrying someone in healthcare, if you're in healthcare, just having an honest conversation about the challenges that will arise and the seasons, and making sure that you as a team are coming together going, how will we solve this? This is not a you thing. This is an us thing.
You know, although I have, I didn't go through that training, I'm like you, Brian and Sharon, working alongside people who do, and I could tell my daughter and sit down and say, this is, these are the real challenges as I know them. But I think that helped at least help with the expectations, because I think one of the challenges she would say some of her friends are experiencing is they just, for whatever reason, they must have had an idyllic kind of view, some kind of phantom out there that they imagined this life was going to be. And it's obviously reality has kind of hit them square in the face. So it's definitely been different. And so I think those expectations and understanding those clearly is, and to what you said, Sharon, you're both on the same team, so how do we work together? Sometimes we often think the enemy is the person sitting across from us, but the enemy, if there's an enemy, I mean, it's all the other things coming at us. It's the busyness of the schedule. It's all of these things that tempt us to be distracted or tired, or things that can't help, you know, that we're not engaging in our marriage in the manner that we should be. So,
you know, Bill, I just mentioned quickly too, like, I mean, if we believe that marriage is a reflection of the gospel, you know, basically marriage is supposed to point ahead to God's relationship with us through Christ. I mean, we have a spiritual enemy, right? We have Satan. And it's not like, you know, to over-dramatize that. But I think as Christians, most of us tend to, we don't respect that enough. And so we're just like, oh, if we do the right things, if we go on date nights, hold hands, then, it, you know, we'll be fine. But we have an active enemy who doesn't want Christian marriages to thrive. From John Piper, I learned, you know, to pray for my marriage every day. To say, God, please protect this from the enemy. I can't do this on my own. I need your help to protect our marriage.
What would you say to, like, would there be somebody who's been in, been married a couple of years, would there be any kind of clues, things that might alert them to say, hey, this is a, an issue we need to address, this is a potential blind spot or something that we need to address early on before it gets out of control? What would you say would be some of those early warning signs, you know, like the dashboard of an automobile, starting to see those warning signs? What would they be?
The first thing that comes to mind, and this probably wouldn't be true for everyone, but if I gave my closest friends permission to tell me the areas where I might be developing bitterness, they would be in a better position to see places where I'm struggling than I do. So inviting close friends, the ones that you're really walking with, to give you the alert, like, wow, sounds like it's been really hard. Or, yeah, it seems like you're struggling to forgive. Or sometimes we're the last ones to see that. So having those relationships that are real, inside and outside your marriage, those trusted people, and giving them permission to speak. What they might see.
If you, if there's something significant that you can't work out on your own, it's probably a good thing to ask for help. Most of the couples that we see, they're afraid to ask for help. You know, maybe their pastor judging them, or they seem weak or whatever. And by the time they bring it up, it's already kind of 50-50. And so they're just waiting too long.
There might be an illusion that no one is struggling like us. We're failing at marriage or something along those lines.
Yeah, totally.
And we don't get to see behind the curtain of everybody's marriages. So we just see the outsides, and that can be very isolating.
And if you think about, like, people in healthcare, right? They're like uber competent. And, you know, you kind of got through the grind of residency or whatever discipline you're in. And so, like, to feel like you're failing at your marriage, it kind of doesn't seem like
safe.
Yeah, like yeah. How can I be so competent in these other areas, but my marriage is a mess? Mm. Got to keep up appearances, mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
So obviously being able to bring in other people from outside, certainly developing a close network of people who, if you've given permission, have permission to speak into your life, that's so key. I mean, too often I think we attempt to do Christian life and living is, we deem it as such a personal endeavor, we fail to realize the importance of community and people around us. And of course, you're offering a unique perspective as outsiders being able to speak into a person's marriage. I know that we talk about the gospel a lot. How does the gospel apply, or how should we apply it in our marriages? How should it take root? How should it direct us in our marriages?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is just realizing that it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it seems so basic, but obviously we're never going to hear that in popular culture. Mm-hmm. In Ephesians 5, Paul says that the gospel and marriage explain each other, but then he also says it's a mystery. Like, in other words, if God didn't tell us that marriage and the gospel are supposed to explain each other, we never would have figured it out, right?
Right.
And then Paul kind of like goes through a few things and he's like, okay, so here are some ways that our marriages should reflect the gospel. So I think it's like this meditation on that and then trying to bend that toward your marriage in real life. Like Paul, I think it's verse 25 of Ephesians 5. He talks about husbands having this sacrificial love for their wives. Mm. And it's a great theory, but it's like, okay, now I really have to do that, you know? When I want the last bite of ice cream, that is a major trial for me. So, but
it's messy, yeah.
Yeah. When push comes to shove, it's like, okay, yeah, Jesus laid his life down for me. And if that right. means something for me, it has to influence how I treat Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what would you say?
I find comfort knowing that what helps marriage be safe, the vulnerability that it takes to walk with someone deeply, I can really only do that because Jesus has covered me first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if I can, and that's an if,
yeah.
if I can remember that in the moment where I'm feeling like I don't want to move toward him, I would rather seclude, I would rather kind of be separate, be independent. If I can remember that what makes that safe is that Jesus has loved me so well and has made me safe and has covered me, I can take the love that I've received and bend it toward him. And that's part of the call of marriage, is to move toward.
Mm. And you're right, Sharon. I was reflecting on the book my wife and I read during our premarital counseling was Larry Crabb's book, The Marriage Builder. Now that's an older book. Now I don't think it gets pulled out very often and the dust blown off, but the truths are timeless. I mean, talking about the gospel, tethering us to Christ is so important because our spouses, this was a truth we had to grapple with early on. Our spouse is going to disappoint us. That person's going to disappoint us. And if we're not tethered to the gospel, to Christ, then, you know, we're going to live in fear. We're going to be angry. But to know that that we have Christ, and especially marriage is a sanctifying work. You talked about being an Eagles fan as a sanctifying work. Marriage and kids and family, I mean, these things are used to sanctify us. And so more than ever, we just need to cling to the cross because it is truly a sacrificial and a sanctifying work.
You know, Paul talks about Genesis 2 and like this picture of being naked and unashamed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what Sharon was saying about like really trusting God to cover us, like it allows us to kind of at least pursue the vision that Adam and Eve had before they fell into sin. And so I think that's kind of what we're always working toward, and the gospel gives us the chance to do that.
Oh, this is good. You know, what I think we're discovering is that this ministry within marriage, the work you're doing is not something you're bolting on top of your CMDA work. It's integral. It's integral to walking alongside our Christian healthcare professionals in relationship, in marriages, and it's such, I think you said earlier, it's a spiritual battle. It's a battleground. The work you're doing, the preparation, the pointing people to the cross as you are helping them negotiate and navigate, you know, which In all of, you know, in all our marriages, I can say for myself, there were tough seasons. But to be able to find that there's hope, and that's the key. If we can know that this is not hopeless, but there's hope, we can persevere and press through, albeit perhaps a difficult time. But it, on the other end, I can now rejoice and say, our marriage is at a much better place. We're relationally a different couple than we were when we first married because God allowed us to go through that. And we're clinging on him, believe me, you know, with white knuckles grips because it was, at times it just didn't know if we were going to come out the other end, the other side. So,
And good. I think that speaks a word, Bill, to the importance of seeking help early when there are just embers brewing in your marriage instead of a full-blown fire. I know early in our marriage, it was so important that we had two older, wiser couples who walked with us when we were in tears over feeling alone, feeling like we were failing, feeling like we were enemies. Those two couples, along with marriage counseling, really changed the trajectory of our marriage. I would say year three was our pivotal year. So the importance of doing it early, I think, and I can remember our marriage counselor being inappropriately excited that we were so young. Because I think as a counselor, he would see a lot of couples that were 10 and 15 years in. And he was like, you guys have a unique opportunity here because you're reaching out early. And I remember thinking, I'm sitting here crushed and you're sitting there excited, but I understand.
Yeah, I mean, not to do a shameless plug or anything, but, you know, we have these marriage conferences with CMDA. And it, again, it shouldn't be at the crisis point that we should avail ourselves of this, but it really becomes a, for lack of a better term, you know, relational tune-up, an opportunity to stop, reflect. I mean, you know, carving out some very focused time on having conversations and catching up and checking in. And I mean, those kinds of opportunities are essential. What would you, kind of as we bring our time to a close, and I know you're going to speak in generalities when I ask this question, but, you know, let's say there's a person in the audience that's thinking about marriage. Let's speak to them first, and then we're going to speak to maybe a couple who's been maybe a couple years into marriage. How would you encourage them? What would you say to the maybe soon to be engaged or the person dating? What would you say? What would be their next steps? What were things you would encourage them to consider as they press into what could be likely an engagement in marriage?
I mean, I would say certainly, again, keep pressing into Jesus, you know, make sure you're doing that, no matter how busy your classes are. Just really, really make the time to prioritize that.
Okay.
I'd also say make sure people really know you, you know, have them get to know your boyfriend or girlfriend. You know, I think we just see other sides of people when we're together and hanging out. And give them permission to speak into your relationship. Kind of say like, hey, a trusted friend, like I really want to know what you think. Like, you know, I want you to kind of comment on our relationship.
And I would add that I think the there is a unique opportunity when you are single to practice loving your closest neighbor, which is usually your roommate. And how you can press into that is actually a good for marriage, loving them well, being in community. They're going to know your best and worst, probably.
They're probably going to be leaving those dishes in the sink, just like, you know, your future spouse might be doing. So you better
learn to handle it with grace.
Good.
And I do think there's a really, it's really important to find some kind of pre-engagement or premarital counseling, whether that's a cohort at your church or finding a couple that you admire and respect their marriage and want to intentionally say, hey, we're seriously considering marriage or we're preparing for marriage. Could you walk us through some of the key topics? And really also what we want is actually an ongoing relationship with you where we can talk through the bumps when they come up because they will. They will. And you want to have a safe space and an older couple that you respect that you can work some of those things out.
You know, one thing too, a lot of churches like recommend this, but couples can take an assessment. The ones we like are Symbis, Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts, and then also Prepare and Enrich. And it's a little bit like Burger King, McDonald's. They kind of get a lot of the same information.
Okay.
but they will give your premarital counselor, pastor, whatever, kind of a snapshot of your relationship and kind of let them know quickly what might be strong, what might need some help.
Anybody, they're in marriage now, they've maybe a couple years, half a dozen, anything you would say to encourage them?
No matter what struggles there are, for sure, by now in marriage, you've encountered some of the struggles. It is worth pressing through those. Yeah. It is worth persevering for many, many reasons. Mm-hmm. But probably first and foremost is that this is part of God's goodness, mm-hmm. is learning mm-hmm. how to work out your salvation with your closest neighbor, learning how to press into Jesus, learning to work better as a team. And there really is, it is possible even after years of hard, if you're in that place, to get connected to the resources that really can bring about change in your marriage. It's important to know that you're not alone.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the idea of hope, you know, even if you've been struggling for 10 years with the same thing, mm-hmm. God is active, right? He's always doing mini resurrections. And yeah, so it's like having the courage to reach out to the right help, to keep engaging God, to let him know you feel like a little stuck and not giving up. There really and truly always is hope.
Yes, that's a good word. That was what I was clinging on as well, hope, in those darkest moments. But God is good, he's faithful, and he uses those times to, again, form and fashion us more and more into the image of his son, which he's attempting to do. So this has been a good conversation, and you know, I just can't tell you enough how much I appreciate the work you do. I just think this is so essential. I mean, I didn't even mention another shameless plug would be side-by-side ministry, coming alongside the spouses of those who are married, women married to those who are in healthcare. I mean, we understand that the marriages and families on all these things are just as important. And because the calling for somebody going into medicine is not just their calling alone, it's the calling for the family. Yeah. There's a lot of other people involved, and it is a shared calling as well. So,
amen.
Yeah. Well, we're going to leave it here, but there's your website, though, that I'd encourage people to check out. We're going to put that in the show notes, some of the things we've discussed as well that are pertinent to the thing we've been talking about. And I think, I think that might be it. Unless there's anything else, I think I just want to thank you and encourage you to continue to press in into this work that you're doing, which I know is a tremendous blessing. And thank you all for being a part of this latest episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast, and we'll see you next time. Well, it's this time of the podcast where we tell you some things you need to know. As always, you can find CMDA Student Life on all of our social media properties using the handle and username CMDA Student Life. And you'll find us on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, X. And if you go to cmdastudentlife.org, you'll find a section in there for show notes. And so you'll be able to get all the important links that we discussed in this episode. Also, we want to draw your attention to CMDA's premier event, and that is our national convention. In 2025, May 1st through the 4th, our CMDA National Convention will be taking place right outside of St. Louis, Missouri, in St. Charles at the Convention Center. It's a great location. And as a student, I want to call your attention to some opportunities we have just for you. So if you go to natcon.cmda.org, you'll go right there to our National Convention landing page. But at the very top, there's a button for students and residents. Go ahead and click that, because information will be there for scholarships, transportation, ride sharing, hotels, and all that information will be there just for students, as well as information about our VIE poster session. So anything student or trainee related is going to be there on the site. But in particular, I want to call your attention to scholarship money, because we know finances can be tight. We know they are. But there is a generosity of spirit in CMDA, and so we've been able to raise scholarship money that's going to help underwrite not only your registration costs, but potentially some of your transportation and housing costs. So again, Check it all out at nacon.cmda.org. And we're hoping and praying for about 220 students from all around the country to join us there in St. Charles. So it's going to be an incredible event, an event that you don't want to miss. Well, thank you again for joining us for this episode of CMDA Student Pulse Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is non-partisan and does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Student Pulse Podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.